fighting for America.
It's going to be in Cleveland in 2016. The Republican National Committee has chosen Cleveland.
It's not the place you come to sleep, right? Tell you what, how comfortable is that? Probably won't have any neck problems tomorrow.
Fighting for Idaho.
I kept thinking that you just need to change your slogan at the beginning of your show. Instead of if it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press, it should be if it's Sunday, it's another administration official making stuff up and meet the press.
Fighting for you.
People are sleeping while they drive. They're watching. They're on their cell phone.
You see,
just forget it.
Right, but you see, you should have come out with this. Now we've got to go, and you're giving us the best stuff.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
I'm sorry.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Coming up this hour, your chance to win a family four-pack to the Les Schwab Tire Motor Fest. And you can see a lot of the hot shot nationals. You've got all these burnouts going on. Going to be a fun time. And if you've got kids, how about this? They can meet Bumblebee from the movie, number one movie in America, Transformers. And if you're a big kid like good old Kay Millie, you can see The Dark Knight. And Saturday night, the cars are going to do what they do best and cruise. Again, it's a big value, but a family four-pack can be yours. And we always want to try and make it fun and entertaining. And when you hear this...
Oh, I bet you say that to all the girls that come on.
Oh, yes. Well, I used to before Mrs. Miller showed up.
Oh, I bet you say that to all the girls that come on.
All right. Caller 10 at 580-5436. 580-KIDO. When you hear that clip from Emily Wither, you'll win the family four-pack if you're caller 10. And by the way, a bonus family four-pack. If you call Ray Amaya right now and you know where this comes from, may the good news be yours. If you know what TV show that's from, you'll win a family four-pack as well. May the good news be yours, if you can remember that. Joining us now, Janely Tobias from Women Against Gun Control. We're going to talk about the Second Amendment. Ms. Tobias, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I love Idaho. I was in Boise for the weekend, and I love the Boise Walk, the Green Belt there, and I have Boise River Green Belt envy because it's such an awesome river and the way that Boise's landscaped it.
Well, it's kind of like how America used to be.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm originally from Shelley, Idaho, and so I'm really excited to do a show with you today, Kevin.
Well, welcome home.
Thanks a lot.
So let's talk a little bit about the Second Amendment, the state of the Second Amendment today. How in danger of it are we losing it?
Well, I would say from today, from where we were 20 years ago, we're a lot better off. That's why 20 years ago, I like to say I was cool before it was cool to be gun rights, because 20 years ago, I had two little girls, and I looked around, and all the leading political ladies, from my mayor to the attorney general, my representative, Hillary Clinton, Janet Reno, and all the women were saying, hey, we need to ban guns. And so I just made a statement, hey, I don't support gun control, and I did the research and found out that the way, if I'm going to keep my daughters safe, that the more gun control laws that are passed, it makes my girls more in danger, actually, from crime. And so we got organized here in Utah and had rallies and helped to get concealed carry passed in Utah. And so today I would say we were better off from 20 years ago. So I would like to think that in 20 years ago that we'll be better off with gun control laws. But I don't know if I can be that optimistic with the administration that we have right now.
Well, as someone who loves the Second Amendment, how scared are you of this administration? We just had a report from the Huffington Post via Glenn Greenwald's site that five Americans were targeted based on their political thought, their political speech. And if they're coming after speech, certainly they're coming after guns.
Yes, I'm the current. We're talking about the Obama administration. I'm scared to death. I think the word on the street or the talk that we're all kind of secretly scared about, he's already issued several executive orders on guns, just incrementally chipping away. And will he issue an executive order that says, hey, turn in your guns, or if you've ever been diagnosed with depression or any kind of mental illness, are we going to lose our gun rights? And I don't put anything past him with the latest fiasco on the border with all the illegal alien children. Who would have ever thought that could have happened in America? I mean, you just look at scandal after scandal, and I can't believe that this is happening and the greatest nation on earth is being taken down into a banana republic.
Well, and that's the scary part, where we see people being empowered that aren't even here legally, and we have people like yourself being targeted possibly mm-hmm. by the government for your beliefs. You know, I'm looking at some of the articles here, and you know, one of them describes you as a petite, chatty Mormon housewife in suburban Salt Lake, has earned a reputation as a relentless citizen activist, a label that got many of her faith view with suspicion when applied to a woman. Quote, I got into activism accidentally. I opened my mouth. How important is it to be heard?
It is so important. I can't emphasize enough. For example, I got into activism by opening my mouth. Like I said earlier, I was out actually doing a term limit petition drive. I believe in term limits. And I looked around, and the mayor of Salt Lake was starting to pass all these gun control laws. And I believed all these women that were saying that hey, if we want to make our kids safe, we just have to pass gun control laws. And so I did the research, and I found out exactly the opposite, that the more gun control laws that are passed, the more crime, as we've seen in Chicago over the weekend, with guns being illegal in Chicago and all the murders that are taking place. And so I wrote a news release. I have a degree in communications from BYU. And I said, hey, the mayor, Dee Dee Corradini, she was a female. She flunked her constitutional class. And then there was a judge also that was saying that it was not against the Second Amendment to limit gun rights. And I said that the judge also flunked his constitution class. Don't they understand what infringed means? It means don't infringe on rights. They were trying. This is before the Brady Bill, and they were trying to pass background checks. And so I got a few people together, and five cameras showed up with you know, little old me, the stay-at-home mom who had given up my career to stay home and take care of my children. And I was like, wow, I couldn't even believe it, that they would listen to a mom. And so throughout the years, I've taken on a lot of issues, but especially the gun rights issue. I've ended up, you know, on several times the front page of the newspaper just for opening my mouth, just for being a voice against the women, mainly. I was pretty feisty saying, hey, you know, these high-powered ladies, Hillary, it was Hillary Clinton even still back then, but more it was Sarah Brady, Janet Reno, and during the Clinton administration, and they're extremely hypocritical because they say, oh, we shouldn't have guns, but what do their bodyguards carry? Mace. I bet they even have a gun in their undies drawer.
Well, I don't know. I'll tell you, I don't want to go into their undies drawer, but without getting to, I guess, genderish, if you will, at 580KIDO, what about the female firearms empowerment movement? How's it going with the women?
It's going very well, and 20 years ago, the group I started, Women Against Gun Control, it was probably the first or one of the first female gun rights groups to come out and say, hey, women don't support gun control. And that, like I said, that was very unusual back then because they were trying to portray women that they didn't know they shouldn't have a gun in the home, and if they did, they were putting their kids in danger, which I find highly hypocritical, again, because it seems the women who are saying, women should be in the military, they fly fighter jets, they operate full auto weapons in the military, but they can't have a gun in their own home. And so for a lot of years, Women Against Gun Control was one of the only voices in. And I just wanted to be a voice out there so that when people did an internet search on the internet, they didn't see just all these gun rights groups that were women to take away the right to own guns. And so I can't tell you how I've done countless interviews with students and answered correspondence just to be another voice. You can't let people that have views that are opposing the Constitution to be the only voice out there. And so you can, to organize, to go to city council meetings, to go to county council meetings, to go lobby the legislature. And at that time, concealed carry in Utah, I think it was like 1993, there were only about 1,200 people that had a concealed carry permit. It was very difficult to get a concealed carry permit. You had to have a job that, like maybe in security or something, that where you had to show cause where you.
And this is in Utah. We're not talking Vermont.
Right.
We're not talking California.
And so in my wildest dreams did I ever think, it was just kind of a dream to be a larger political lobby than the Utah Education Association, because they had like probably maybe 40,000 at that time. And so 20 years later, we have over 100,000 people in the state of Utah have concealed carry permits, but it took 3 years. We had to get the women active, because to get laws passed that are so, that gun laws tend to be a guy thing, that at least they used to be, but not so much anymore. And concealed carry in Utah has one of the best concealed carry permits. That's why everybody wants to get a concealed carry permit. So I'd like to think that we can keep going forward and not backwards, but it's really interesting, Kevin, back in the day, if we said, well, we have to have guns to protect us from a tyrannical government, and they thought that we were wearing a tinfoil hat or something, like, what? You know, you're just a bunch of bunker-type personalities. You know, you hide in your basement and you think that the government's out to get you. Well, if anybody doesn't think that now, then they're the ones that are living with tinfoil hats on them, not going out anywhere, just seeing a pattern of consistent chipping away at our rights.
I would agree with you. How concerned are you, and let's get back to this issue when we talk gun control, that every time there's a national tragedy, we have the President of the United States blaming people like you, blaming people like me that support our right to keep and bear arms?
It scares me to death. I think for the people out there that believe in the Second Amendment, it's always like every time there's a shooting, I think we all are shaking in our boots, because we know that the second that happens, they're going to be calling for our gun rights. I used to think that President Bill Clinton was bad at that. Every time that there was a mass shooting, he would be calling for gun control laws. But when we have a president who his attorney general, it was Eric Holder, said that we can't afford to let a tragedy go to waste, because we can do things that we normally can't do. And when the Sandy Hook, it's really the Sandy Hook evil. Yeah, they used a gun, but we need to focus on what causes people to snap.
Janelle Tobias with us from Women Against Gun Control at 580KIDO. Much more.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Janelle Tobias with us as we continue on talking about Women Against Gun Control. Now, you've been involved in lands issues as well down there in Salt Lake.
Yes, I have. That's why I talked about the river as soon as I got on the phone earlier with this morning. And that was basically, I went to some city council meetings to protest a large-scale development, 2 million square feet of office space, if you can believe that, and 10,000 parking spaces on 110 acres on the Jordan River here in South Jordan. And how I wish I had the Boise River in South Jordan where I live. And so I went to city council meetings, and I just asked them not to rezone that, and that we had a large citizen coalition that said we would be willing to go out and raise money to preserve that ground so the farmers could still get their money for the ground, and they could still sell it, but we would preserve it. And we became so effective that the developers sued us for $1.7 million, and one of the developers was a judge. And so everybody was afraid of him. I guess I should have been, but when people do things that are unconstitutional, you have to fight back. And so on that issue, I did fight back, and we didn't cower when we were sued for $1.7 million. Another lady.
Now wait a minute, you must have been scared.
I was scared. I mean, I don't really have a record of getting in trouble with the law. I didn't even know what a lawsuit was. Like, the most I'd ever had was an expired registration. And so we got sued. And fortunately, there was an ACLU lawyer who's actually very anti-gun. But when he saw that we were being sued and told all we had to do for them to drop the lawsuit was to keep our mouth shut. And so so we said that was unacceptable, but we didn't know how we were going to pay for it, if we were going to have to use our own funds. But Rocky Anderson, who later became the mayor of Salt Lake City and who, in fact, was a presidential candidate with the Justice Party in the year 2012, he said, hey, I'm going to represent you ladies pro bono. And he probably donated about $100,000 worth of legal fees, and then he became mayor. And then we accumulated about $400,000 worth of legal fees throughout a nine-year period, because when you have developers with deep pockets and you have a terrible judge who didn't have a lick of common sense to understand that these developers were just trying to make us be quiet. So we fought for 9 years, and we ended up – it was always the settlement agreements, we had 18 very high-pressure settlement agreements, and it was always pay us money and keep your mouth shut. And settlement agreement number 17 was just pay us $100 and keep your mouth shut, and that was unacceptable. And so they ended up...
So wait a minute. You were going to be... You could get out of this million-dollar lawsuit by just shutting up and paying $100.
Uh-huh.
But you stuck on principle. That's reassuring these days.
So it's very, I can't even tell you, Kevin. I mean, it was a horrible time because we're talking about threats to gun rights. I consider this a threat to free speech, and you're in radio, and you understand how important it is for people to speak freely about things that they believe in. And one of the settlement agreements, my lawyer called and said, a settlement agreement number 17, you know, can you just pay $100 and keep your mouth shut? And I faxed him back. Remember, does anybody fax anymore? but I took a big Sharpie and I wrote on a piece of paper, you'll have to pry my free speech from my cold, dead voice box. And so because we stood down to power, when you speak truth to power is a common phrase for political activists. We won, and not only did we win, but they actually paid us $50,000, which just went to my $400,000 worth of legal fees. But the main thing to me was we didn't have to keep our mouth shut. And no one should ever, ever be quiet about anything that they believe in. And so if when we see... from the city council to the school board to the state, anything that infringes on your rights, I've had so many experiences where I stood up and faced them down. You really can win because they bully people. And you know, one such example was that a few years ago, it was in the year 2000, that was a really big anti-gun year, and that was when a lot of women organized, and they had they remember the Million Mom March in Washington D.C. And so Women Against Gun Control, we had one of the largest rallies ever here in the state of Utah to counter that. And then I went back to Washington D.C. and we countered the million moms that were there. And that was really scary. They're so dark. You know, they wear black and they lie so much. And we walked past their rally and holding our signs, and they were spitting on us. And they, like, I have pictures of them shaking their fist at us. And the media portrays them, and they portray themselves as, oh, we're so gentle because we don't believe in gun rights, and gun rights are violence, when the exact opposite is true. The fact is that guns save 2.5 million lives a year. And those are studies that have been done at the University of Florida by Gary Kleck. He's was a criminologist and an ACLU, either on the ACLU board or an ACLU attorney, that determined that guns are used 2.5 million years in defensive use. And because of my high-profile political activism the Simon Wiesenthal Center targeted Women Against Gun Control as a hate group. And so I didn't even know that they had done that until I started getting calls from attorneys saying, hey, if you want to sue the Simon Wiesenthal Center, who is a group, by the way, that is dedicated
Sure.
For the time in...
Well, before long, Jenna Lee, they're going to put you in with the Southern Poverty Law Center. We've got to run, but we'd love to have you back. If people want more information, if they'd like to join your group, what can they do?
Okay, WAGC.com is the website, and it's under construction right now. We also have Facebook groups, Women Against Gun Control. Just type in Women Against Gun Control. We also have a brother organization called Men Who Support Women Against Gun Control.
Well, we appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me on, Kevin.
And we'll have you back, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Take care.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There you have it. Jenna Lee Tobias. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And welcome to the Manly Man segment, the only segment in radio where we talk about men's issues. That's the name, the Manly Man segment. Good morning, Dave.
Hang on, Kevin. I'm making a pool shot here. I'm playing pool and drinking beer this morning. Don't really want to do my job.
I see.
I just want to play pool and drink beer.
Perhaps I should offer you some drugs.
No, I'm good. I got my beer and playing pool, having a cool one, playing a little pool instead of doing my job. So just bear with me.
Well, okay.
All right. Okay. It's your shot now. All right. I'm back.
All right. Well, who are you playing pool with?
Huh? Ray Amaya. We're just playing pool. We're just not really going to do our job today. We're just going to play pool.
I see. Mm. I see. Well,
as long as we're here. We're close to work. But
I see. So I suppose you want to talk about the border situation.
What border situation is that? Oh, borders? Fantastic place. Go there, browse, look at books, drink a little latte. I'm sorry. I'm being a little sarcastic and snarky this morning.
You snarky?
I just can't believe. I can't believe the handlers of the president. And I realize, you know, the president doesn't make all the decisions. Handlers make them. But how could the handlers have you 2 hours from the border and you don't want your face associated with the disaster going on there, but instead you go play pool and there's a photo op of you playing pool and drinking cold ones? Mm. Who does that? Who's his handlers?
I don't blame the handlers. I blame the arrogance of the administration. And Dave, you've been at the top of your game before, haven't you?
No, never really. I'm still working toward it.
Aren't we all? Well, there was a time when I think a lot of us have been at the top of our game. And what a lot of people, and I guess if you read Sun Tzu, The Art of War, that's really when you're the most vulnerable. And even though we've got the trouble with the economy, we've got everything blowing up in the Middle East.
Don't worry about that. That's not that big a deal, really. Missiles, rockets going into Tel Aviv. Come on.
Even though we have these things going on, it's kind of tough when you derail my fragile train of thought.
Oh, sorry.
But anyway, you know, who's going to hold them accountable? The IRS runs wild. Everything else. I mean, you have the NSA
the disclosure yesterday by Edward Snowden that five Americans that did nothing wrong, that were, you know, politically active, have been being spied on by the NSA and the FBI without warrants. So if you can get away with that, I mean, who's to stop you? Maybe it's just human nature. I don't need to go to the border. What? I'm not running for reelect. What do I care? Just a thought.
You know, as I think back to the walk after the inauguration, what, 6 years ago? Al Roker runs over to shake the president's hand, and the TV announcer's talking about this. This will be the most open and transparent presidency ever. That he has vowed to be open and share with the public. Wow. How open and transparent. I'm afraid if it was really open and transparent, what we'd see. Look at what we've seen without it being open and transparent.
Indeed. Indeed. Uh-huh. And it's a tough situation, but then you have more people focused on where LeBron James is going to go as opposed to the craziness on the border. In fact, poor Ray Amaya, poor Mrs. Miller got phone calls last night seeking to wonder if the illegals are going to come here. We had somebody last night saying that they were worried that Gowan Field could be harboring the illegals. And I said, well, I haven't seen any yet.
No, but I don't know how quickly, and I don't even want to spread that rumor, but I don't know how quickly you would see that. It might be one of those, it's happened before we really even knew it, unless somebody from the inside were to tell us.
I think that's what this guy was trying to do, and I think we would have some lovely coverage from the folks in the local media. They go, oh, isn't this lovely? Look at the busloads of folks coming in here.
Well, you think about it, and listening to a guest on George Norrie overnight, it is frightening when you look at what is happening with the population of the world, what is happening with the influx of bodies coming into the United States, or even into Canada. I mean, you go into Canada, go into Vancouver and that area of Canada, and it has become very Chinese immigrants who are coming and flooding into Canada. It's not just across the Mexican-U.S. border in Canada. They're being flooded from Asia with refugees coming in. So, I mean, it's all over in the West that you see people striving to come here. You don't see a lot of people trying to get down to Central America, except those who are retired want to take advantage of the banking system.
Mm-hmm.
But you just don't see it going that direction. But just the influx of people and where the world population will go in the next generation. I mean, you know, we have more past than we have future, Kevin Miller. But for those who are...
What do you mean we?
No, we have more past than we have future.
Speak for yourself.
I am. So, but I'm just saying that for our kids and grandkids, for those...
I expect to be around until I'm 100.
Good luck. It's going to be an interesting world for you then.
No, really. I'm just going to sit in my house with the DirecTV, lock all the doors.
You won't be able to afford DirecTV. And you'll need iron bars on your door, as they have in Central America, I might add.
I'm working on that right now.
Every house has iron bars on their windows and doors. There must be a reason for that, huh?
Well, coming soon.
Yeah, but no, having lived in Central America, and I get it. I get why they're, you know, trying to come to the U.S. But having lived there, every house that has any means, even the poor houses, that's one of the first things they put up, balcones, they call them. You know, it's iron bars that are put up on the windows. So nobody can get in.
Well, troubling times. Are you ready to talk about something good?
Sure.
You ever been in a men's room?
Nope. I usually use the parking lot. Yes, of course I have.
You know, I was thinking of you in the men's room yesterday.
That's bothering me.
And by the way, it was interesting because I saw a lot of people from the Middle East at Barnes & Noble yesterday as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just building on your all these cultures coming in. But, I mean, Boise prides itself on being a refugee city for whatever that's worth. But I'm not sitting in the bathroom. I'm just in the bathroom there. And there was actually a line, and I'm going... Boy, that's gotta be a tough blow on whether or not you wait in line to use the public restrooms or you just go home.
And you were thinking of me?
I thought this would be a great topic to start the Manly Man segment, but I don't know if that can compete with the crisis on the border or the bars on the doors. It's funny because I was all set to talk about this. Now, how could we turn this into like a Larry David / Seinfeld moment? Hey, you know, I was looking at that guy, I go, ooh, that's a tough gig there, buddy. And he was just waiting to use the the one whatchamacallit in there.
Hmm. I'm just, where were you again?
I was at the bookstore. I haven't been to the bookstore since I've been married. I used to hang out at the bookstore all the time.
I know. They used to call here.
All right, that went over like a lead balloon, so we'll continue on.
I'm just wondering why you were worrying about people in the men's room.
I'm just going,
and whether to use it or not.
You know, the idea of using public restrooms, like, you know, a lot of people, they don't. They wait till they get home.
There's people that won't use a restroom here.
Yeah.
And probably for good reason.
Well, it's just kind of strange. I don't know if this is just a man thing where you're in the restroom and some people start talking to you.
Yeah, that's against the rule. That's against man rules, period.
But you have people here that will be in the...
I know.
And they'll start talking. Like, dude, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm in the men's room doing business. And the thing is, the men's, and this is a stimulating conversation, but the men's and women's bathroom, you can hear through the walls, and the women just yak, 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 yak. It's like, wow. They just talk. And men's room, I mean, there's certain rules that apply to the men's room that you don't break. But some people try to here. It's like, don't talk to me when I'm in the bathroom. I wash my hands. I leave the door. You may talk to me in the hallway.
You're not a real talkative guy.
In the bathroom, no.
I'll say something to you. Whoa!
And I'll say, talk to me in the hall, buddy.
So we've got that going on. We have the 6 to 8 Body Renew Fitness Centers closing down. And you think to yourself, and by the way, I'm a member of Body Renew, so thanks for ripping us off, guys. And I love what they did. They charged us the $45 maintenance fee, and then they closed the next week.
Yeah, that was handy.
And you think about this, and Dave, you used to be in business.
They knew. They knew going into July. They knew.
But, I mean, you know, when you – and you still do stuff when you're doing your DJing and stuff. People give you deposits and money, mm-hmm. and they trust you to do your job. And I'm looking at this and going – it's funny because the guy out in Star – I guess is good friends with the owner that hosed everybody, and he's a former law enforcement guy. And I just remember the last time I was in there, about 27 years ago, and he was telling me how excited he was about the business and how good it was going. And, you know, then you have people that have, you know, it's, what, $15-$20 a month, and now they're out that, and then they, you know, upped it, as you just said, you know, charged myself, Mrs. Miller, $45 for the maintenance fee. And then they had somebody, we'll hear this from Channel 7 coming up, actually get defensive and start yelling at the customers because they said, you know, when you cancel the club fee, you just don't cancel it on your credit card. And I'm going, okay, maybe that's why in the last month you lost 1,000 to 1,400 customers in a gym that's just turnkey. Now you have gyms like Gold's and Axiom and others, Idaho Athletic Club, where you walk in and there's someone to greet you. Mm-hmm. When they're not surfing the web or talking about their delts. Body Renew, I guess it's like Anytime Fitness. I think Anytime Fitness is the same model. You walk in and you can work out anytime.
24 hours a day.
It's a key club thing, which to me screamed liability. And I remember talking to the guy and he goes, well, you know, if you get in trouble, you just press a button on the corner. Well, the bad guy knows that. He's not going to let you press the button on the corner.
Or if you hurt yourself on the weights, might not be able to get to the corner to push the button.
And the cops are going to come? Well, yeah. In Star, Idaho, there's like one or two, God bless them, or the Ada County Sheriff's. So mm-hmm. they might be busy dealing with my obnoxious neighbors that are on the roof throwing fireworks off the roof.
Oh, you live in a nice neighborhood.
And
you do, actually.
Then one of the neighbors says to me, hey, did you take a picture of that and call the cops? No, I didn't take a picture of them and call the cops because I'm tired of being the bad guy. Because they think that any time the cops are called or their landlord's called that I do it. You know me. I live under a rock as you always berate me all the time. It's not like it's my place to, you know, be the nanny of the neighborhood.
And you'd think living in that big gated neighborhood you live in that wouldn't be going on.
Or now you're going to love this one. I know this is not as stimulating as the border, so there's a new pizza place in town, right?
I didn't know.
Okay, West Side Pizza.
Okay.
So Mrs. Miller, unbeknownst to me, surprises me and orders pizza. Now, we're like a mile from the new pizza place. They couldn't find our house. It was a mile and a half away.
They don't have GPS?
And they didn't call us. Now, Mrs. Miller, being the astute, smart business person she is, she called them and let them have it. And I go, what are you doing? You don't give them a lecture. You just say, forget it. And so then, being the entrepreneurs that they are, this West Side Pizza, the owner called back because the lady goes, well, we'll give you 25% off. I go, no, you don't give them your money after you have to call them to tell you, hey, where's my pizza?
How long was it?
It was an hour and 45 minutes.
Holy cow.
And if she hadn't called, we still wouldn't have got it. So she called, and then I guess the manager, the owner, called him back. And then the guy came in and he goes, oh, that'll be $23. And she goes, no, they comped us. And you think to yourself, my goodness gracious. And you want to give people your money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just think to yourself, man. And they made it good, and the pizza was okay, and it was, you know, nice. But you think to yourself, okay, it's just common sense.
But see, your wife Daisy did the right thing. She told the owners. The owners need to know.
Well, no, she didn't. That was until the owners called them back. She was dealing with the person answering the phone, and I go, that's not going to help you.
But they need to know. The owners need to know.
Yeah.
Having owned an establishment, a food service establishment, you need to know when the people are messing up.
And then the guy who came to the door, he's a manager, and he's like 19. Is everybody just 19 these days?
Just to you. As yeah. I said, more past than future.
I guess.
Just saying. Kevin, your traffic now as you're coming out of camp.
John Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Okay, I promise not to talk about the men's room ever again. Bad call at the line of scrimmage. Hey, coming up, your chance to win tickets to the Les Schwab Tire Motor Fest. That's coming up this weekend at Expo Idaho, Saturday and Sunday. And again, we'll give you a chance all morning long to win a family four-pack, courtesy of your friends here at 580KIDO. Coming up, talk show host Bill LeMay, more on the border, plus the fallout of the Body Renew bailout, I guess. Maybe they'll get a bailout. Let's get you to traffic. And it currently is 63 degrees in Meridian. K. Milley in the morning, 580KIDO. Also coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, big lawsuit going on against Boise State. No, it has nothing to do with the Second Amendment or any of these other things. It has to do with the First Amendment. That's right. Do you believe there should be free speech zones in Idaho? One group says no, and they're taking the blue to court. We'll give you the details. We'll hear from them coming up as well. Plus our great friend Stephen Yates on the domestic and other issues. Serving.